8:32 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO in the second hour of the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Stan Streason, that would be me, Jeremy Lawrence, and glad that you are with us along for the ride today. We've been talking about the first hour. We certainly mentioned a little bit what the weather is going to be doing in the next couple of days. Much, much better than the 32 degrees that we're staring at right now. But we also spent some time talking about taxes. It is April the 15th, which, of course, that means tax day. And we've been talking about what it is that taxes are, what it is they should be. And, you know, the one thing that we have not gotten a whole lot of argument about, Gallup poll came out, and this was released yesterday, 52% say that they pay too much in federal income taxes. 42% called it about right. 3% said that federal taxes are too low. I'd like to meet those 3%. That'd be interesting. Too low, really? You like paying more. All right.
Yes.
Go for it.
Here's my bill.
Yeah. You just want to do that. But so, you know, we haven't gotten a lot of argument from people saying, well, you know what? We don't pay enough in taxes. I think if, and there would be people who would be willing to call in and say, well, the wealthy need to pay more in taxes. Well, that is one argument that I've heard over and over and over again. And the whole idea of, well, the rich have it, they can afford it, and that kind of thing. But the rich are also the business owners. The wealthy are the people that invest in things and make America grow. They have the power to be able to do that. In my mind, I kind of think, well, you know, and I'm not going to say let's cut taxes on the wealthy, but I'm going to say this. They already pay an awful lot. So if you increase taxes on the wealthy, what would happen to the economy? That was one thing, and The Hill's got a piece on this talking about that the wealthy are being hit a little bit harder with their taxes today. And they're saying that there's kind of a drag on the economy when that takes place. Now, granted, not a lot of one, but in this particular economy, we're still dealing with an awful lot of people who are out of the labor force. You know, labor force participation is at one of its lowest levels since, I believe it was 1978 or 77, somewhere along those lines. But it's pretty low. So anytime that you are dragging the economy down a little bit, that can't be a good thing. But they're saying, I think it's Moody's Analytics is saying that higher tax rates on top earners has pared back economic growth by 0.2 percentage points in the last year. Bigger drain on the economy was the lapse in 2013 of a payroll tax cut that helped a broad section of U.S. workers. And the end of that tax break cost the economy 0.6 percentage points last year. Now, these are the things that we're dealing with. And I think what I would advocate for is, you know, we all spend how much money to get our taxes done every year, whether it is you, if you do it yourself, you're spending your money in terms of time because you're sitting there poring over this and getting to that point where you're going, why did I do this? There are some people, and if you're in the sound of my voice, you might be one of those people that do what I do. And you go out and get the tax software. Simple to use, pretty easy. Walks you through all the questions where you sit there and go, no, no, no. What, are you kidding? No. And then there are others still that will go to their, you know, their tax firm or whatever it is, their accountant once a year. You make that trip in, you sit down. All right, what did you do this last year? All right, what kind of donations did you make? What? Okay, this. All right, here's what your taxes are going to be. Let me write all this out. We'll get this sent in. We'll take care of it for you. Boom. And I've done that in the past as well. And that is another option. But what would it be like? Just imagine with me for a minute, what would it be like if, as our caller at the end of the last hour said, your tax form could be filled out on a postcard or something that size? And no, I'm not talking about the postcard that says on line one, what did you make last year, and on line two, send it in. That's not what I'm talking about. It feels like that. I know that. But what I'm talking about is the simple thing of, here's what I made, here's what was taxable, here's what I paid in, here's the difference. How simple would that be? How simple would your life be in tax time if you didn't have to have 42,000 pieces of paper surrounding you? And we all do it. You got all your receipts spread out, and you got your W-2s over here and interest statements and over there, and you got this, and it goes on and on and on. What would it be like if you had that? Or what would it be like if it was just, you know what, you made this much last year, your tax is 9% of your income. 9%. And it would already be pretty well at the level it's supposed to be because, all right, that's going to come out in your paycheck. 9%. All right. 9% of what you made, boom, that's this. At the end of the year, it'd be off like maybe a few pennies. Maybe. If that. You know, it wouldn't be this whole thing of, oh, you could take your tax return and do this with it, or, ugh, I have to pay in this year.
Oh, that'd be dreadful.
And we've all been there. Yeah, we've all been there. And, you know, they always say, figure out a way. And I've heard people say this, figure out a way so that you're paying about what you're supposed to. And you know what? It never quite works out. Because I'll pay in what I'm supposed to be, you know, and I'll be at the point where I'm getting a refund federally. But for the state, I got to pay in. Because it's just different, and it's different for each one. What would it be like if your taxes were simple? That's what we're talking about today. What would it be like if we had a flat tax? And we all, you know, you think about that thing Herman Cain came up with a couple of years ago, 999. See, I said it without the accent, finally. I tried real hard. But what if we had that kind of thing where you go, individual federal tax is 9%. Business tax is 9%. Sales tax, 9%. How simple would your life be at that point?
Very simple.
I mean, no more TurboTax, no more accountant, no more this, no more IRS. Because what in the world would they have to do? Okay, I'm going to charge everybody 9%. Yeah, 9%, there it is. It's coming in. Cool. Next.
Yeah, they don't have to come after you anymore.
There wouldn't be audits. You know, and that's one thing that they did say is with all the cuts in federal budgets and that kind of thing, different budget cuts and new responsibilities, translated Obamacare enforcement. The IRS is not going to be coming after as many people. There won't be as many audits. They're saying that it's going to be the time where fewer Americans have been audited any time since the 1980s, which isn't real long, but it's a pretty significant amount of time. Particularly because Michael's sitting here going, what are you kidding? I was born in the late 80s.
That's right.
The 80s. But they're basically saying that the audits would be less than 1% of all returns, which is, okay, a good thing. But here, let's look at this. Budget cuts forced this and new responsibilities. Translated, enforcement of Obamacare. Because now all these agents are going to have to go work on that and make sure people are paying up when they don't have health insurance versus got to make sure people are paying up like they said they would. What would it be like if we didn't even have to deal with any of that? It was just 9%, boom, done. And there would be people that say, okay, all right, what happens if we get to a point where we need a little bit more money? Two ideas on that. Number one, spend less. I know it's pretty simple. I'm sorry, but spend less. Find ways to cut it back. The other idea is, okay, well, if you got to raise it, you do a temporary increase and say, all right, it's going to be up to 10%. It's going to be up to 10% between this time and this time. And after this date, it goes back to 9%, just to give us a little boost, a little edge, if we need it. If we need it. And I think with that, you almost have to have it so there's a supermajority required to get that done. Because if you do that, then it's not a partisan vote. Then you got to get everybody on board with this and say, all right, yeah, we need this. Now, with taxes the way they are now, will we be able to get to that point? Who knows? But what I want to talk about today is just let's flat out dream, what could it be like if our tax system was much simpler? What would you like to see? Would you like to see a flat tax? Would you like to see a fair tax? They talk about fair tax, that might even end up being a sales tax. If you think about that, that might be fairer because, you know what, if you got less money, you're going to be spending less out there. And if you got more money, guess what? You're going to be buying more stuff. It's going to be based on consumption. It's going to be based on what kind of shape the economy's in. And some people would say, well, when the economy gets bad, then we wouldn't have as much money. Well, guess what? When the economy gets bad and we don't have as much money, how about we spend less? I know I'm being simplistic again. I'm sorry.
That's a good idea. I mean, it's like, you know, if I was running tight on money, I wouldn't go out and spend more because then I would be in a huge hole and wouldn't be able to dig myself out of it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. How many of us individually will go, okay, all right, we've got the same amount of money coming in, but there's going to be greater expenses. So you're going to look at two things. All right, well, can I get a raise at work? Well, okay, maybe, maybe not. And if you can't, can I get a different job? Well, in this economy, okay. Anyway, then you're going to start looking at, okay, well, what kind of expenses can I cut? And we're talking cut. And you know what I'm talking about when you sit there and go, all right, well, we'll cut back to basic, basic, basic cable. Or we'll decide to do, you know, this and not that. Or we're going to cut the grocery bill a little bit. Tough to do these days, I know. But you could do that. Or just different things that you go, well, all right, do we need to have this phone plan when we could have that phone plan? That's, you know, we spend a little less, we get, you know, a little bit tighter, but can we do that? And you find out after you do it, yeah, you can do that. But something our government doesn't do much of is actually cut things. When they start talking about cuts in Washington, what that translation usually is a reduction in the rate of growth. So that's like saying, all right, last year I spent $50 on my cable bill. This year, instead of spending $80 on it, I'm only going to spend $72 on it. That's the kind of thing that they do with that. And that's where you talk about that. You know, maybe that's where you get a little more common sense. But I think some of these ideas of doing a different tax system are just that, common sense. When you've got certain areas where people have to jump through all these hoops just to get their taxes done. And, you know, and they've done all sorts of things to try and make it easy over the years. I remember when I used to file my taxes by phone. You could do it on your touch-tone phone. Well, you can't do that anymore. You know, but all right, yeah, you can do it online, but you still have to go through one of these programs or whatever, or you could go on a website and do it or whatever. But what would it look like? What would you like to see? Maybe you're one of these people that says, you know what? I think what we're doing right now is just fine. Well, that's great, but I'd like to hear from you so you could tell me why you think right now the way we're doing it is the way we should do it. Or maybe you got a different idea, fair tax, maybe a sales tax plan, abolish the IRS, maybe do some sort of a consumption tax, or maybe that whole idea, the Herman Cain plan. It sounds intriguing to me. At first, I didn't know if I was on board with it, but it sounds intriguing, this whole idea of 999. I did it again. See, I'm doing good.
You're getting good at that.
I'm trying. But maybe you've got a different idea. What is it? We'd love to hear it. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Or you could text us 803-73 and be a part of the program today as we chat with you. Right now, we're going to head over and chat with Ray in Kalamazoo. Hi, Ray. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. I agree the tax system is a stinking mess and needs to be reformed one way or the other. But you got to get some sort of political movement behind it, and I think I've got the answer to that.
Okay.
The way to get people motivated to change the tax system is eliminate payroll withholding of your taxes. Mm-hmm. So that way At the end of the year, people have to sit down and actually write out a check for the total amount of taxes that they owe. Mm-hmm. And then that drives home in a very real way exactly how much in taxes they're paying.
Well, even if you were doing, say, a monthly bill from the IRS, you know, if they sent you this thing saying, all right, well, based on your income, you should be paying us thus and such. Instead of it coming out of your payroll tax, you know, I've been intrigued by that idea for a while now, and I think that's one of those things. If you did that within a few months, taxes would be lower in this country immediately.
Yeah. Because there are a lot of people out there who get a refund almost every year, and they think they're getting something back from the government. They don't realize, they don't quite understand that they're getting their own money back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And without interest on top of it either.
Exactly. I had a former brother-in-law who wasn't exactly the sharpest knife in the barrel, but who said that one year he had to pay in a little bit, and he was outraged. He said, well, we're supposed to get something back every year from the government. And
no, that's not Christmas time.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the way it is for a lot of people.
Well, it does seem that way. And, you know, you hear a lot of that is like, well, you know, take your tax refund and buy this or buy that. And I kind of think, you know what? It needs to be a little better. At least I think it needs to be a lot better than what it is. Because if it takes you all the time that it does, and, you know, think about whether you go to an accountant or you do it yourself or you sit down with one of those programs, it takes a while. You know, I even sat down with the software and it still took me, I think it was like two and a half hours. To get through all that stuff, and my taxes are not difficult.
Well, that's the other thing. The cost of compliance adds billions and billions of dollars. It's a bit a drain to the economy.
Mm-hmm. And what would it be like if we took that money and instead had it poured into the economy a different way? You know, I mean, how many people that, you know, that tax software runs about, what is it, like 50, 60 bucks, depending on what. And if you go that way, how many of us would much rather use that to go out to eat or, you know, buy something that's a little more of a fun thing?
Sure.
You know, even little things like that might make things a little better. I don't know.
Anyway, that's my idea.
Okay. Well, Ray, I appreciate your phone call today. Thank you.
All right. You bet. Bye.
And that's just it. You talk about ways to make it better, and those things would definitely do it. It's tax time, tax day. If you haven't done your taxes yet, get on the stick. Midnight's your deadline. We've talked today about this. Whatever you think about this, we're getting some texting comments. We'll share here in just a little bit, and we'll continue to share comments from you. What should we be doing with our taxes? What should it look like? 382-4280 and 877-382-4280 as we continue ahead. .428, 32 degrees in Kalamazoo. Jeremy Lawrence with you on 590 WKZO. This portion of the program brought to you by Bronson, where everything they do is about getting better. That's Bronson Positivity. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com. Been talking taxes, what you think that things ought to look like. And right now we'll head on over and chat with Jan in Kalamazoo. Hi, Jan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. What I wanted to say, back when I was working, and I would talk to the head of the company about wages. Are you there?
Yes, yes. Hey, turn your radio down. That might help a little bit. We're on a little bit of a delay. So
about wages, he would tell me that if you're a family man compared to someone that wasn't married and didn't have a family, deserved more money than you did because they had more people to take care of.
Hmm.
And so if you get the 9%, it would cut down on the family as far as money to spend than if you weren't married.
Okay.
And I just always found that interesting when he would tell me that, you know, it depended on whether someone was married or not.
And had
a family.
That's definitely an interesting view on things. It's not one that I think you would see a whole lot today in business, though, as well.
Yeah.
Jan, thanks for your call. Appreciate it today.
Thank you.
And, you know, there's a lot of different things to consider when you think about this. But if we could break it down and just say, all right, we got to come up with a different way to fund government in this country. And nobody's saying let's pay no taxes at all and, you know, have total anarchy. Well, no, that's not what we're talking about. But let's look at it in a way that we can say, all right, we need to be able to fund our different programs, our different things, and we need to do it in a way that is fairer, a way that and I don't have a problem with the idea of all of us having a little skin in the game, having the government get a little bit of our money, each one of us, because then you're going to see every one of us say, well, wait a minute, I've got a say in this,
mm-hmm.
because that's my money going in there, and I'd like to see the government spend it a little better. You know, I think one caller came up with the idea of, let's do away with taking it out of your paycheck, make you have to pay the government. Oh, that'd be a hard lesson the first time you had to pay that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Might be right on the money. Get people thinking about what goes into the government instead of thinking, ah, that wasn't mine to begin with. Program continues. Going to be talking about wage inequity as we continue along. Make sure you're with us. WKZO, Jeremy Lawrence here with you. It's 31 degrees in Kalamazoo. And with all these cooler temperatures, you might think, oh, well, it'd be nice to be able to do something inside.
Play video games.
Well, you could do that. Yeah. But it also is nice to be able to say, you know what? When it does get a little cooler, it'd be nice to go to the movies, see a little something. Heck, it's nice to do that at any time of the year, yeah, no matter what.
That's nice no matter what.
I mean, think about this. Summer's coming and all those hot temperatures. Then it's real nice to get in there with all the air conditioning. Yeah, there you go.
And some pretty hot movies, too.
There you go, yeah. But and some good stuff is out already, really. A lot of good different movies. But you know what? There is one that is not yet out that comes out this Friday that could be interesting. This one could end up showing up in the box office numbers this next weekend. It's a Johnny Depp movie, which immediately there's people that are, Johnny Depp, I'm there. He doesn't play Jack Sparrow in this one, okay? It's a different movie. It's called Transcendence. It's kind of a sci-fi fantasy mystery kind of thing. The whole idea is his character knows he's going to die and finds a way to transfer himself into a computer. And then just everything goes awry from that point. An interesting movie. This is going to be on the IMAX at Celebration Crossroads in Portage. And you'll have the opportunity to see it along with a friend because I've got two tickets for it. Now, see, I would just give them to you because I like you. But Michael insists we've got to do this fairly, I guess. And his idea of doing it fairly is coming up with a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question, which he's going to share with you. So, because I want to give it to you, here's the numbers, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. And to win these tickets, all you have to do is be able to come up with the correct answer to the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that you're about to hear in the next few seconds.
Yes, and this is a Boston Marathon-related trivia question, just so everybody knows that.
Okay.
All right. So, the question is, in what year was the first Boston Marathon held?
Okay. This wasn't 3 years ago.
No,
it's been a while.
Not 3 years ago.
Okay. All right. So, first year that they had a Boston Marathon. If you don't know this one, look it up real quick. Because there's people calling. Come on. 382-4280-877-382-4280. And you'll be able to go see this particular movie, Transcendence. This is one that I saw the preview to this and thought, you know what? I might just have to go to that one. An interesting movie. And anything with Johnny Depp is usually pretty good. This one looks to be really, really good. So imagine seeing that one on the IMAX. And, of course, in case you're curious, a little bit later on in the week, we do have some other movie tickets we're going to give away. You've seen those Disney nature films, the different ones that they've done. Well, they've done one on bears, and a little later in the week, we're going to have some tickets to that one as well. So something to look forward to there. But in the meantime, if you'd like to go see this one, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. What year was it that the Boston Marathon was first run? That is your trivia question. Here in just a little while, we're going to be digging into another topic, and I wanted to dig into this. I've been wanting to dig into this for a little while. Terry Lindland made some comments about income equality between men and women. This was something that had come up, and it came up a little bit more because the president made some comments about it, and he made a few statements about it, and then she has since responded to it. We wanted to bring all of that up, let you talk about it as well. So we're going to be doing that here in a few minutes. Right now, though, Michael is giving me the thumbs up, and I'm assuming it's not because he's feeling good.
Well, I am feeling good.
He is, yes, but he's actually got a winner.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so who won these movie tickets then?
Jacob from Kalamazoo.
There you go. Jacob gets to go to the IMAX and see Transcendence. Going to be a good one. And what was the answer to the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question?
The first year the Boston Marathon was held was in 1897.
Mm-hmm.
And it was won by John J. McDermott of the United States with a time of 2 hours, 55 minutes, and 10 seconds.
1897. They weren't just running to get coffee at that point either.
Well, you know, there were some strange events that did happen during those races, so you never know back in those days.
Well, you got to wonder if that's how it started, that all these guys were like, you know what? We need coffee, and the closest coffee shop is 26.2 miles from here. You got to wonder. I don't know.
Well, from what I know, it had to deal with the Greeks, and guy with the last name of Marathon had to run to the nearest town to tell the news that, you know, you got to help us out with this. You know, we're about to be attacked, and the town was 26.2 miles away.
Aha, there you go.
Yeah.
The truth comes out.
That's how it all started. You know, I'd have to read into a little bit more to know the exact history. I know bits and pieces of it.
You know, that's great, and I'm sure it's the truth, but I liked my story better. It's just about that much more fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry I had to spoil that for you, Jeremy.
You know, I mean, my version of the story sounds really American. Yours sounds absolutely true and kind of dull. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. We're going to be talking about wage equality here in just a little bit. Make sure you're here. WKZO, Jeremy Lawrence with you, spending a little bit more time with you in your afternoon. And, of course, along with me is the inestimable, see, I can't even really say the word, Michael Loudon. He's here as well. So,
hello.
I was going to say hi. See, you got to wait for my cue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Say hi, Michael.
Hello.
See, you don't even follow instructions there.
Okay. Hi.
All right, whatever, anyway.
And don't worry, I have trouble pronouncing some words as well.
Okay, well, inestimable. So it's doing the Daffy Duck thing with that. I need to stop, I really do. But Terry Lindland had made some interesting comments, and I've been wanting to get to this for a while, because one of the things that she talked about, and this was back when they were talking about, you know, equal wage between women and between men, and she had made some comments in a speech that she had made. This was a speech made in 2010 to the Bloomfield Township Senior Women's Club. And one segment of that has been pulled out and used by people as high up on the food chain as the president. And that particular segment was the segment where she says, we'd all like to be paid more, and that's great, but the reality is that women have a different lifestyle. They have kids. They have to take them to get dentist appointments, doctor's appointments, all those kind of things. And they're more interested in flexibility in a job than pay. Now, if you take that as the statement, that sounds pretty bad. But that's not everything she said. As usual, it gets cut down to a soundbite and then taken out of context and pounded on.
Mm-hmm.
And the president did that in saying, he said something about... And his comment back was, well, very rarely do you meet people who make the choice to be paid less for doing the same job. That's not the choice she was talking about there. And if you dig into it a little bit further, she was talking about dealing with employees and dealing with a union and dealing with having a lot of employees that were women. And they were saying, you know, the UAW, they like to negotiate for more money and raises. And she says, well, we'd all like to be paid a little more, and that's great. And then she talks about how women having choices to make with kids and getting doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and things like that. And after all of that, she said they're more interested in flexibility in a job than pay, although pay is important too. There's a spot that got cut out of it a little bit. You know, it's the whole thing of, you know, well, she's for this and she's not for equal pay. No, she can be for both. And she was making the point that women want to have flexibility in their jobs as well as pay. Another thing that was brought up, and this was a response by her campaign to the president's comments, pointing out an article in Washington Magazine suggesting the wife of Jay Carney, President Obama's press secretary, talked about the importance of having flexibility in her job. It sounds like the Jay Carney's wife, Claire Shipman, who works for ABC News, was interested in making sure that she could balance her job and the demands of a family. Interesting. Now, bringing all this up, and I think, I'll say this. I think if you look at the comments that Terry Lindland made in context, you get a bigger picture there. You get the fuller picture. And that's the one thing that has not been brought out when these comments have been brought out, because only a segment of them have been brought out. And I think the one thing that has been missing from this is, and I think this is something where Terry Lindland's campaign could do a whole lot better, is by saying, now, wait a minute, that's not all I said. In the same speech, I also said this. I also said that. Those comments were taken out of context. When you put them in context, here's what I was saying. Now, she said a little bit of that here and there, but there's not been that angle on it saying, all right, wait a minute. Here's what I actually said. Here's what I really stand for. And guess what? I'm not only for flexibility, I'm also for equal pay. Now, of course, her campaign went on to point out that her opponent actually pays women less, and he says, well, no, we actually pay them the same and all that, and it gets into another mudslinging competition, which I don't want to really get into because I don't think that that is workable. But I think the thing I'm pointing out here and the thing that bothers me about this all the way around is when you've got media outlets going, well, she just said this. Isn't that horrible? And in the middle of this, people didn't even realize these were comments that were made 4 years ago in a speech, a little part of a greater speech in which she mentioned, as a business owner, as dealing with employees, what she was doing. And dealing with employees, and she's dealt with employees in the public sector as well. So she knows. And I think, you know, that's the thing. It concerns me a little bit. And I've met Terry Lindland. Nice person. Very nice. And, you know, I think she's in a position to be able to do well because, you know, people are intrigued by her. Oh, wait a minute. She was a pretty good Secretary of State. Okay. All right. She's one of us. But I think the one opportunity that she's missing here, and, you know, it's the same as yesterday when I was talking about Governor Shower, or not Governor Shower. A lot of people are sitting here going, yeah, screwed that up. Sorry. But, you know, talking about Mark Shower running for governor, this is what I meant to say. And I said, look, he needs to come out and define himself a little bit better. And in this case, on the other side of things, Terry Lindland needs to come out and define herself a little better, specifically with these comments. Because I think when you dig down in and find out what she had to say, she's right on the money on both accounts. Pay is important to women, absolutely. And there are laws in place already that penalize people if they pay women less for the same amount of work. That's there already. So if that's there already, and you know she's for this and she's for flexibility and that kind of thing, why is the issue being brought up? Why would people continue to bring this issue up? And I'll tell you what the answer is. Look at your calendar. Flip back to November and look at what happens on the first Tuesday after the first Monday.
Oh, that's election day.
There you go. It's an election year. And this is one of those things that brings people out to the polls. Well, we're for income equality. We need to go vote. Well, yeah, you do need to go vote, but you need to vote and be educated on it in all fields. And I'm not saying, you know what, believe what I'm telling you. Okay, I'd like you to, sure. But I'd like you to be able to dig into the issue a little bit more, and that's what this is all about. That's what this is. When you're hearing that she said this, how horrible. First of all, consider who you're hearing it from. If it's a media source, okay, that's one thing. If it's her opponent or the president, you got to sit here and go, okay, well, wait a minute. What was the full context? And even with some media outlets, you got to go, what was the full context of the comments? What did she have to say the whole way? And what does that mean for what she believes? Well, they've taken her comments and twisted them to mean the exact opposite. Now, I'm saying she needs to define herself better, and I think she does need to do that. And hopefully someone will share that with her campaign, because I think it's important. I think it's important if you're going to be in the campaign, if word comes out about you believe a certain way and you don't, you need to jump on that and say, well, wait a minute, my comments have been taken out of context. Here's what I meant. Here's what I believe. Here's what I've always believed. Now let's move on with this. And point out how silly it is that some people want to take it out of context. That's why I say in any of these cases, and I don't care if it's Terry Lynn Land saying something, I don't care if it's her presumptive Democratic opponent, Gary Peters, I don't care if he said something. Dig into it. Find out a little bit more. Be more informed. And then, yes, by all means, in November, go vote. But go vote based on what you found out and based on what you believe is the best way to go. That's what it's all about. That's what it breaks down to. In the end, that's what we need to be doing as voters. Now, for a lot of people, they'd say, well, the media should be doing their job. You're right. Media should be doing their job. But sadly, we've got a situation where you've got different media sources out there that have bias one way or another. Sometimes it is perceived. Sometimes it's actual bias. And you've got to be able to dig through all of this and say, all right, I'm not going to look at what Fox News tells me. I'm not going to look at what MSNBC tells me. I'm going to look at what they tell me. But I'm going to look at this from a lot of different angles. I'm going to see what different things were said about this. I'm going to dig into this and get to the truth of the matter. Because once you do that, once you dig into all of these different pieces, you're going to know the issue pretty well. And you're not going to be duped by this whole thing of, she said this. Well, yeah, but she also said this and this around it. And that totally changes the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that, then you can be more informed. And if you know that, then you can tell your friends, well, you know what? Yeah, I heard about that too, but here's what I found out about it. And suddenly, come election time, you're going to be pretty popular. There's going to be people surrounding you going, all right, what did you learn? What do you know? I want to know. And you'll be able to tell them the same thing that I'm telling you, which is, look, just dig in. Just find out a little bit more. And in today's media environment, it is important to do that more than ever. You know, these are not the days where, you know, Walter Cronkite said it and you could take it to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are over. And it's sad. And it's horrible. But it's the reality we live in. So I encourage you, you know what? Check out some of these different sources. Yeah, check out the partisan ones too. Because you'll get their view of things on one side, on the left side, on the right side. And then you'll be able to look at it and go, all right. This is what the conservatives think. This is what liberals think. Here's what libertarians think. Here's what moderates think. Here's what actually happened in that situation. And then you can finally come to the ultimate conclusion, which is this conclusion. This is what I think. And that's the difference. You come to your conclusion. Not that, oh, well, I listened to this person, you know, I listened to Brian Williams last night and he said this and I believe it. Okay. Well, I listen to Mark Levin. I listen to Jeremy Lawrence. I listen to whoever. It doesn't matter. This is what I believe about things. That's the conclusion we need to come to. And for that, yeah, people like me are great because, you know, I've got a view on things and I'm going to tell you what my view is based on my research. And I try very hard to research things so that I know a lot of the different sides on things. But I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to believe you. I'm asking you to dig in and find out what really the case is. Because then you'll come to an informed decision and you'll be much better off. And I think if we all did that, we'd all be much better off. You'd be voting your conscience. And we'd have people in there that actually agree with the majority of people in America. If you dig down, dig deep, and figure out what is it that I believe? What is it that I stand for? What is it I believe about this story? And then you take that story and you make it your own. This is just an example. Terry Lynn Land said this. Guess what? She stands for pay equality and flexibility on the job. Show of hands, who stands for that? Yep, that's what I thought. So really, is this an argument that we should be having, or should we be having an argument that says, you know what, if you're going to tell me something a little more fully,
mm-hmm.
and start digging in a little deeper.
Completely agree.
Absolutely. I hope that you do as well. Sadly, I'd love to chat a little bit more, but time's up. But we're going to be back at it tomorrow, so hope you'll join us tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Till then, have a good evening. We'll see you later.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.